Did y'all good evening? Got a good number out with us here on a Sunday night, and I appreciate that very much. I know there's other places you could be here this evening. The fact that you've chosen to be here and made the effort says a lot about you and your love for God, and I appreciate that very much. We do have some visitors among us. I want you to feel welcome here at the Clarksville Church of Christ. Hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. One of my favorite visitors with us tonight is my son, Ben. He's recently home from Indiana State University. He's going to be with us for the next couple of weeks, and we're just glad that he's able to be out with us here this evening. A long time since I've been in assembly with him, and hearing me preach always makes me a little bit anxious, a bit nervous. Good to have him with us tonight, and you as well. We want to remind ourselves at this moment that all we're interested in is what this sacred volume right here has to say, for we believe that it is, as it reports to be, the words of God. Jesus one time said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath that which judgeth him, for the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day." And so I hope you appreciate the fact, as I bring forth my lesson here tonight, I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I've got to say. Matter of fact, I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint to my left, your right, so that you might be able to see where it is that I'm gathering these things, so that you might be able to study them yourself to see whether these things are so. In the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 that Edward read so well a few moments ago, it talked about there that Luke there wrote to Theophilus the things in regards that Jesus both did and taught. Jesus did not just simply preach, he did. Not too long ago, there was kind of a famous saying. Matter of fact, people would wear it under wristbands. What would Jesus do? And I appreciate that idea, but what I'd like to talk to us about here tonight is what Jesus did. In the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 2, in verse 21, Peter there says that Jesus Christ left us an example in how it is that we ought to live our life, that we should follow his steps. Matter of fact, John 1 said in 1 John 2 and verse 6, "If any man say he abides in him, let him live as he lived." It was the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5 said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So what I'd like to do here for the next, 14 minutes and 38 seconds is talk to us about what Jesus did so that we and I might have a better understanding of how it was that he ordered his life so that you and I might be able to follow that example. The first place I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, you have one handy tonight, is found in the book of Mark in chapter 1. In the book of Mark, in chapter 1, in verse 35, I read the following, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." One of the things that I'm impressed about, why Jesus Christ lived here in a flesh and blood body, God incarnate, God in the flesh, was that Jesus Christ saw the necessity and he saw the value in praying. In the book of Luke chapter 5, in verse 16, once again I read, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness alone and prayed." We've talked about it in the past, how that each and every one of us, ladies and gentlemen, need to cultivate in our lives, and we need to be able to section off time in our lives so we might have quiet, calm, deliberate time when we can go to our Father which is in heaven and pray to him in secret, knowing that that Father that sees us in secret will reward us openly. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Again, in Luke chapter 9 this time, if you have your Bibles, you're still turning. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 29 this time, I read there, "And he prayed, and his fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening." Jesus Christ, whether early in the morning, in the noontime, in the evening, at any time, during success, when times when he was fainting, times when he was tired, times when he had great jubilation, saw the necessity to pray. In the book of Luke, in chapter 22, in verse 32, as Jesus is now on the brink of being crucified, it says, "But he prayed for them, that they might not fail." Again, in verse 43 and verse 44, "And being in agony, he prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." What would Jesus do? I appreciate that question, but what I want you to see here tonight is I want you to see what the Scripture says that Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ prayed. And that's the reason why Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, "Pray without ceasing. Why we'd say be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Philippians 4 and verse 6. And why Peter would say in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, cast all your cares upon him because he cared for you. What was it that Jesus did while he was here upon the earth? Well, the first thing I want you to see is that Jesus Christ prayed. But also I want you to see this. Jesus Christ used Scripture. Now, you might not think that. I mean, you think of the fact that Jesus was God. He was God in the flesh. You would think that he would just simply be able to just make statements, and that he did. But I want you to understand that when Jesus Christ was confronted with sin or questions in regards to spiritual things, Jesus Christ always went to the same book that you and I must go to today when it comes to answering spiritual things. You may recall in the book of Matthew in chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, while Jesus Christ is out in the wilderness, he is fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And we see in verse 3 that the devil, the tempter as Matthew calls him, comes tempting him. And you may recall that Jesus not ate, as I said, 40 days, 40 nights. He said, if you be the Son of God, demand that these stones be turned into bread. You may recall that Jesus on that occasion quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6 when he said there, said, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And on three occasions, Satan tempted him, and on all three occasions, Jesus Christ answered from the Scripture. In the book of Matthew in chapter 22 in verses 31 to 32, while Jesus there was being asked, in regards to the resurrection, there had come a dispute between the Sadducees and the Pharisees in regards to the resurrection from the dead. And you may recall that Jesus said in verse 31, he said, you do err, not knowing the power of God, nor the Scriptures. Have you not read when he says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus Christ used Scripture when it came to answer regarding spiritual things. And so it is for you and I today. When it comes to teaching our young people, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, will not depart from it. How are the way to go? From the Scriptures. When it comes to ourselves overcoming temptation, the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word I have hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. In the book of Acts, in chapter 32, I should say 32, not 37, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to provide you an inheritance among those which are sanctified. I am built up, I am strengthened, I build up, and I strengthen my brethren by utilizing Scripture. Thy word has strengthened me, Psalms 119 and verse 50. A passage I often quote before my lessons in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God, that God in all things may be glorified. What did Jesus do? I want you to appreciate that Jesus Christ used Scripture when he was teaching and when he was answering spiritual things. And I ask ourselves a question here this evening. When was the last time we used Scripture? What did Jesus do? Jesus used Scripture. I want to show you something else that Jesus did while he was here upon this earth. Turn over in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 13. And I want to show you something else that Jesus Christ did. In John chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, I read, and he rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus said, what I do knowest thou not now, but you shall know hereafter. And Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon said unto him, Lord, not my feet only then, my hands and my head. And Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean in every whit. And you are clean, but not all of you. But he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you're not all clean. So in verse 12, he said, so after he had washed their feet and had taken up his garment, he set it down and he says, know you not what I have done, or know you what I've done? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and master has washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he has been sent. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I want you to appreciate here this evening that Jesus Christ, as he was there upon this earth, served. And we see that example to the point of washing the disciples' feet. And he says, I've done this so that it might be an example. I can't think of anything more humiliating or humbling than being down on your hands and knees with a towel and washing somebody's dirty feet. But that on this occasion is exactly what Jesus has done doing, showing us that there should not be any task that we should feel that we're too high and mighty that we cannot do to serve our fellow man. In Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 and verse 13 said, let not your liberty in Christ be occasion for you to utilize the lust of the flesh, but in love serve one another. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 26, Jesus said, whoever wishes to be the greatest among you must be the servant of all. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, a passage that our elders have asked us to read and meditate upon this month, therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. James said in James 4 verse 17, he that doeth knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What did Jesus do? Jesus Christ served, leaving us an example. All of us, ladies and gentlemen, have all kinds of different job titles. I'm the preacher here, Stephen Allen, our elders. We have song leaders and Bible class teachers. And we have people here that will clean the building and things of this nature. We've got all kinds of different titles and responsibilities we meet from time to time. But there's only one description. That job description is a servant. Everything that we do here, ladies and gentlemen, is in servitude to one another, and most importantly, in servitude to God. What did Jesus do? Jesus Christ served. But I want to show you something else that Jesus did while he was here upon this earth, and this time that's found in the book of Matthew in chapter 21. And in verse 12, where there on that occasion, Jesus Christ was coming into Jerusalem. And in Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple and cast out them that sold and bought of the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. I want you to appreciate that Jesus Christ, when he was here upon earth, rebuked that which is evil. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 23 and 13, as Jesus Christ, once again, on the night he was betrayed, was overlooking the city of Jerusalem, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites! Jesus Christ, while he was here upon the earth, one of the things that he did was to rebuke evil. In the book of Ephesians 5 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul there said, have no fellowship with the evil works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We need to understand that we live in a dark age, and each and every one of us, as children of God, must do as the Lord did, and that is stand up when we have opportunity against that which is evil. In the book of 2 Timothy, in chapter 4 and verse 2, that's the reason why Paul would tell him, I want you to preach the word in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. We need, ladies and gentlemen, to stand up against evil. I want you to understand that the greatest ally that evil has in this world is good people who will do nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that one of the things that Jesus did was that Jesus rebuked evil. But also, I want you to see something else about Jesus. And that is found in the book of Matthew in chapter 9 and verse 36. Where there I see, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. I want you to appreciate that Jesus Christ showed compassion to the people he was around. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, Jesus on that occasion, looking at all those who were following, it says there that he had compassion upon them and he healed their sick. On that occasion, Jesus, you may recall, fed 5,000 men besides women and children because he had compassion upon them. In 1 John 3 and verse 17, John asked a question. Whosoever of us who have of this world's goods and see his brother have need and has not compassion upon him, how does the love of God abide in him? If I am going to follow the example of the Savior, I want you to appreciate here this evening that I'm going to have a heart of compassion for my fellow man. Jude said, and some I want you to have compassion making a difference. We make differences in people's lives when we see those that are less fortunate, those who need to be encouraged, those that need to be edified. And I have the type of heart that I look outside myself and I have compassion upon them. And I reach out in their time of need. I want you to appreciate what Jesus did. I understand the query, what would Jesus do? But all I need to do is look and see what Jesus did while he was here upon this earth. And I want you to appreciate here tonight that Jesus Christ showed compassion. I got two more. Can you stand that? I want you to appreciate here this evening that Jesus Christ, while he was here upon this earth, cried. Now, you might not think that. But in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 53 and verse 3, there the prophet of old said that he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Jesus understood the idea of sorrow. He understood the concept of grief. In John chapter 11 and verse 35, as he was visiting the grave of some no-name man in some no-name town, wept. Jesus wept. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who created the world, the one that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When he was here in the flesh and blood, and he saw the plight of folks just like you and me, Jesus Christ was moved with emotion, and Jesus Christ wept. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, we see, "And when he came and he looked over the city, Jesus Christ wept." He wept for fallen Jerusalem. He wept for the people that would one time crucify him by the end of that week. Jesus Christ wept for them. The Hebrew writer said in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, beginning in verse 7, he says there on that occasion, "Who in the days of his flesh," talking of Jesus, "in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." Jesus Christ, when he was here upon this earth, cried. He was tender-hearted. Martin Kennedy, who later baptized me and pushed me out to preach for the first time and really became one of my biggest encouragers and one of the largest lights of my life. It just seemed like every time he was in the pulpit, he would cry. And oh, as a young person, how that embarrassed me. And, oh my goodness, this grown man, is he going to cry tonight? And the older I got, the more I saw that this was just a man that had compassion. This was just a man who cared. This was a man who loved, who had passion and enthusiasm and a concern for those that he was preaching and teaching and he was talking to. And so it is that I see with my Lord that when Jesus Christ was here upon the earth, Jesus Christ cried. And I ask ourselves here this evening, are we big enough men and women? Are we full enough of life, of love and compassion and tenderheartedness one another that we can cry at other people's pain? And finally, I want you to see this. Jesus Christ died. Peter in his gospel sermon said, by the foreknowledge and determinate counsel of God, you have taken with wicked hands and crucified. Jesus Christ in a flesh and blood body literally died. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3 that I preach nothing amongst you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In Romans 5 and verse 8, God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died. While Jesus Christ was in a flesh and blood body, just like you and I, He faced the same things that you and I faced. He had the same temptations, the same concerns. You've been lonely? He was lonely. You have friends talk about you? He had folks talk about you. You ever been betrayed? He was betrayed. You fear of dying? Jesus Christ died. He died the most horrible, excruciating, humiliating death that was ever foisted upon a human being. Jesus Christ died. So will every one of us. It's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Jesus Christ left us an example that we should follow His steps, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. I want you to appreciate here this evening that Jesus Christ showed each and every one of us how it is that we face death and how we die. Jesus Christ died in the flesh. Well, I always like that little bracelet people kind of wore. I like folks thinking about the Lord. What would Jesus do? And they will make applications and all kinds of things. And again, I don't mind doing that. But what I want you to see here this evening, the Scriptures tells me what Jesus did. Jesus Christ prayed. He used Scripture. He served. He rebuked evil. He showed compassion. He cried. And He died. And if we've learned these things about the Lord here tonight and can make application to our life, then I think our time has been spent very profitably. You've listened well tonight. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation and encourage you this evening. Maybe there's one in our audience not being obedient to the words of our Lord when He said, I want you to go into the world and preach the good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. If you've not done that tonight, this would be a wonderful opportunity to do that. John said in 1 John 1, verse 9, if you will confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If there's anything that this book will allow us to do to help you to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above, we wish to do that for you tonight. We extend that invitation to you. Sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to Him in any way, come forward now as we stand and sing.
Well, through His